Hey everyone, welcome to Inverse. My name is Justin Kim, and in the studio we have Jonathan, we have Callie, and we have Siku. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. I want to say hi to you guys too. And we are in our last episode on our arc, topical arc on the topic of the three angels' messages. We want to encourage you to go to inversebible.org as always to download the Bible study guides on the three cosmic messages. We are in episode 13 entitled Ablaze with God's Glory. Jonathan, can you pray for us? And we'll get straight into text right afterwards.
Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have blessed us over these last 13 weeks in studying this powerful topic of the three angels' messages. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, as we wrap things up in this episode, we pray that this will only be the beginning for an ever-deepening relationship with you, an ever-deepening experience with you, and that we will more and more understand the three angels' messages and apply them in our lives, live them out to this world so that many, many will know you. I pray that you will bless us here and those watching and listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The three angels' messages are the, I think we mentioned in a previous episode, the mantra of the Seventh-day Adventist. The Adventist movement is a ecumenical movement, and I say that with a lowercase e, from people from all parts of all of our different backgrounds coming together and based on the Word of God and finding what the Word of God calls them to do, especially in these last days. There is another ecumenical movement, capital E, where it talks about, forget about what you believe, we're all really the same thing. And in Revelation, there will be two ecumenical movements, one based on the Word of God and one based on human sentiment, or I don't know what it's based on, but it's not the Word of God.
Not truth.
Not truth, yeah. And there's the battle between the two, of which the three angels' message is pointing towards. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. And Callie, can you read that for us? And that's going to be our beginning text for today.
Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober.
Sober. Siku, what has, after 12 episodes on the three angels' messages, what really strikes out to you and what has impacted you personally and helped you with your sobriety and being more awake in light of the last day's deceptions that we're in?
It's probably maybe a little simple, but the importance of truth.
Mm.
Just the importance of truth, you know? And always saying deceptions, I said maybe it's too simple because like deception has to do with, you know, an aberration of truth. Mm-hmm. It may have elements of truth to it, but then just a little bit of error turns it into falsehood, you know? Mm-hmm. And just the importance of truth and being faithful to truth. And maybe the sobering thing for me is not just the importance of truth, but for me to love truth,
mm-hmm.
And to have, you know, a personal commitment to truth, and in the context of what we've been studying, realizing that truth in its purest form is Jesus Christ.
Mm.
You know, he is the embodiment of what truth is, and any form of truth that doesn't ultimately lead to him is not truth in verity.
Mm-hmm. You know, so. I love the balance there. Truth today has become, can I say, a trigger word to be cantankerous, argumentative, stubborn, and just an ugly person. Mm-hmm. But you're saying the truth as it is in Jesus, and that's a certain nuance to that, that this isn't just some propositional truth, some list of bullet points that we believe in this kind of thing, but it is all centered around the life ministry, the personality, the character, the experience of Jesus Christ in your life, and he's the one that's giving us all these warnings and this sobriety, this calls to sobriety against deceptions. Jonathan, same question, and you too, Callie. After 13 episodes, what are things that pop out to you and you still remember that maybe you knew already and came to remembrance, or you're like, man, I never thought of it that way, and this was awesome.
Yeah, I love that the three angels' messages bring out God's character in multiple ways. You have the aspect of him being our creator, and that he wills us, he wanted us, he cares for us, we are his creation. Mm-hmm. And he calls us back to worship, which is, in other words, just, hey, come back into my family. I am your father, I care about you. I want to, you know, spend the rest of eternity with you. Mm-hmm. That's what that means to me. Mm-hmm. And also the aspect of what does it mean to worship in the context of the last days? Lingering in God's presence, not rushing it. We talked about that, and that really impacted me. Mm-hmm. I think one thing, it was you who said it, Justin, that whatever we don't rush into, the things we are willing to spend time on, those are the things that we worship. And the question for me is God that, I don't want to say thing, but is God
the object
of my worship,
and
compared to other things in my life, you know, there might be some element of reform needed by God's grace in my life.
Amen. Two things that come to mind are, the first is that judgment is good news. Mm. It's not a really scary thing when we know that we are hidden in Christ and His righteousness is enough.
It's a thing we've talked about multiple times, but I think along with you, that does, we do come back to that.
Yeah, it bears repeating.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing for it to to get in.
Even though I've heard it, even outside this conversation, I've said it several times, I need to say it to myself over and over again. The second thing is something actually Jonathan talked about, which comparing the seal of God and the mark of the beast and the centrality of the seventh-day Sabbath and the end times. And it's not because it's only about the seventh-day Sabbath and that's the only thing in the world that matters and it's not about Jesus, it's not about that. It's because that the end time, that's what's being shown, that is the symbol of the relationship, of the loyalty, and all the relationship with Christ, the love, his righteousness, it's all still there. It's just that is the way that we are seeing it in the end times. And I just love that way of explaining it, and it's very helpful to me.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate growing up. I wasn't born as a Seventh-day Adventist. I was born in a hospital. But growing up as a Seventh-day Adventist, like, you hear about the three angels messages. You see the logo. I remember being part of a t-shirt contest where we created a church logo. And I drew the three angels. And I won. And it was this is awesome. And so we had the t-shirt with the three angels on the side. This is before the actual church had its logo. You can check it out online, what it looks like now. But I never knew what the three angels was. I never knew what the three angels were. And when I read it, I thought, man, maybe, and this, and I mentioned it before, it's stupid, but man, these are literal angels. Like, they're going to come out from the sky. They're going to be heralding this. And we're like, man, it's like UFOs. And my fascination with sci-fi and aliens and space stuff, like, it's a funny, funny journey that the Lord put me in. But the seeing that we are the three angels. The angels are these messengers that go to the whole world. That's us. Man. And it's a burden, but it's also responsibility. But with the Lord empowers us and calls us into it. And in a sense, we're kind of doing it now.
It's a great cool purpose thing to have. I mean, what higher purpose is there than to engage in this mission of Jesus in these last days?
And this
is not just for us here on Inverse. It's for the viewers. It's for everybody
who
believes this.
Now, in chapter 5, verse 6, it says, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We've talked a lot about being sober, the power of truth and sobriety. How do we know that we're not asleep? How do we know? How do we keep watch? How do we talked about deceptions. We talked about, you know, trying to stay away from all. I mean, how do we know that we're not? Aren't the deceived deceived? That's why.
They're deceived?
They're deceived. That's not stupid, but like, they don't know that they're deceived.
I mean, if I can speak to that, I think that a lot of this has to do with an active faith. So, yes, you might not have every doctrine perfectly down all the time, but are you engaging in the works of Jesus? And I'm reminded of Matthew 25, and we can go there if you want to, for, you know, Jesus says, you know, in there you
Matthew
have the...
Matthew 25?
Yes.
This is with the virgins?
Sorry?
The virgins?
No, it's actually, I mean, those would fit actually as well, but I'm talking about the judgment.
Okay.
And then the judgment, so we are looking here, verse 37.
37, okay.
Matthew 25:37 says, then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in person and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. What we see here is Jesus describing that those who are faithful are those who are awake spiritually, are those who are actively engaging in the ministry of Jesus, not just, you know, agreeing with the truths of the Bible. Yes, I believe this, and you know, every Sabbath I reaffirm I believe in this. No, those are the ones who are very, they're in the mud. They're doing the work of Christ. Mm-hmm. For me, when I can tell, like, I'm kind of wavering spiritually if I'm not doing ministry. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm engaged in something, that's when revival takes place. Mm-hmm. Engaging in the Word of God and putting the Word of God into practice, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. that's one way for me to kind of see, am I alive in Christ?
Mm-hmm. Activity, ministry, service, mm-hmm. secret.
As I say, your question, it's kind of the chicken and the egg, right? So like, if you're deceived, how do you know that you're deceived? If you're deceived, that's the point of deception, right?
Yeah.
The verse that came to my mind is 2 Thessalonians, as the next book over from where we had started. Mm-hmm. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11. Yeah. And I like how it's phrased in the King James Version. I'll read it here in the New King James Version. It says, "For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." And this kind of goes to what John was talking about, that accepting the truth and then living the truth, mm. right? And in King James Version, it talks about receiving a love for truth, right? Mm. That it's about a heart posture, mm-hmm. right? A heart that has a desire not just to hear what truth is, but when I hear it, I will obey what the truth mm-hmm. Speaks to my life. It reminds too of John 7:17, where Jesus says, "Whoever wants to know what the doctrine is, whoever wants to obey the doctrine, God will reveal the doctrine to them." Mm-hmm. So it starts with this heart posture of, yeah. God, I want to obey whatever it is that you reveal to me, however you bring truth to me, mm-hmm. whatever avenue, no matter what inconvenience it causes in my life, mm-hmm. I have a heart posture that is willing to obey. Then God reveals truth to me, and because I have already that prior commitment, when mm-hmm. truth comes, I obey. Mm-hmm. And acts mm-hmm. of service and how we treat other people. There's also a parable about, you know, the person who's waiting for the master and then mistreating other servants. So that heart posture is going to impact the way that I relate to others mm-hmm. while I'm waiting for the master to come. Mm-hmm. So probably that may be a little too introspective of a
response. No, hey, I would agree with that. I would add another component mm-hmm. to that there are those who have open heart posture. But they are open to every source of authority out there, whether it be truths mm-hmm. or whether it be, you know, what evolutionary science and Darwinian perspectives of science say. It may be whatever YouTube speculation there may be or whatnot. So they're open, but they're every source mm-hmm. of authority. And there's others who are really onto the Bible, but their hearts aren't really open, mm-hmm. right? So they're into Bible study, but they read the same Bible over and over again, and they only want to find what they want to practice, mm-hmm. and they're blind to those things of which mm-hmm. the Bible says, but they're like, oh, that's not what it's... But having that openness and having your daily contact with gospel truth, yeah. with Bible truth, those two things cause a certain pliability
yeah.
that if the... And I would say the four of us and the rest of our team, hopefully by God's grace, that if someone says, hey, this is in the Bible, and they show us the line of mm-hmm. all throughout Scripture, and this is why, you know, mushrooms should not be eaten, or whatever the thing is, then we would all be like, yeah, hey, we would, you know, whatever, hey, we should all, whatever, how crazy it may sound,
yeah.
that as long as the heart posture and biblical fidelity really go, I think, go hand
right.
in hand, and I think that's what it, then we know if we're being deceived or not, and waken out of our stupor. Mm-hmm. Kelly?
Yeah. Circling back to that question, how you phrase it, like, yeah, if you're deceived, how do you deceive? No, you're deceived, all those things. And there has to be a faith in somebody outside of yourself in those instances, and that faith has to be in God.
Yes.
One of my favorite things about God is that he is clear when he speaks. Mm. And I have faith that that God can speak through my self-deception. Mm-hmm. Like, he can pierce through it and be like, you are not listening right now, but I'm going to give you something to hear me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to tell you everything because, you know, John 7:17. Right, like, you need to show that you are willing for me to tell you other things,
yep.
but I'm going to give you something to work with. And I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, introspective by my default settings. Mm-hmm. And I can think back even in different parts when I wasn't a Christian, and I'm like, I didn't know God. And I was like, yeah, but I wasn't really open to knowing God. But there were things that even then God was reaching towards me, and the posture of my heart was, no thanks. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested. But as soon as I turned towards him, God was like, I was just waiting. I am mm-hmm. so happy. We're here now. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were things that I was still self-deceived about. There are things I'm still self-deceived about in this very moment.
Right.
But God is still guiding me towards right. him and still
right.
pulling me. And so yeah. I think when we are afraid of self-deception, we should be. But we need to not be like, well, it's okay, I'll figure it out. No. We need to take our self-confidence away from ourselves and say, God is stronger than my self-deception. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God is stronger than my erroneous beliefs about things, and he can show me through scripture. Mm-hmm. And he is powerful enough to teach me, and not just through in verse, not just through my favorite pastors and preachers, mm-hmm. but even by his still small voice, his yes. Holy Spirit through his word.
Mm-hmm. If I may add to that, one of the most freeing experiences for me in my Christian walk was when I realized I don't have it all down. Mm-hmm. I do not have to rely on self.
Mm. Amen.
Literally, the Bible is that the word of God can guide me. Jesus will guide me. And if I have a healthy amount of self-skepticism
yeah.
In my own ideas and beliefs, I mean, I know some people say, oh, you got to have self-confidence. Yes, but we can have confidence in Jesus, Christ in me, the hope of glory, right? But I, knowing that I don't know everything, mm-hmm. being open, and then also have a willing heart to surrender. And I noticed that I'm only willing to surrender when I spend time with Jesus.
Same.
When I invite the Holy Spirit, like, okay, Holy Spirit, come in, like, clean it up, you know, do what you need to do. I'm willing. That's when I'm the happiest. That's when I'm realizing, oh, I've been wrong on this, or mm-hmm. I need change here. And that can truly help. But we live now in a society where everyone is constantly making these blanket statements that this is it, you know, you tweet this out and there's no changing. And so it's like we don't live in a time where it's, you know, seen as something or where a lot of people are willing to say, hey, you know, I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I should do it this way, or I should change. So having that openness, as already has been mentioned, mm-hmm. has really helped me in my personal journey to just be freed, and then also not look at other people like, oh man, like, but they know everything, or he knows everything. Like, hey, you're on a journey with Jesus right now. Where you are right now is where you're supposed to be with him, and he will take you step by step. You don't have to be like this ultra super uber, you know, theologian. You are the super uber theologian in your sphere with Jesus right now. Don't worry about the rest, if that makes sense.
All right. I love that. Super duper uber
theologian.
You can put that in your email.
I can get your tagline.
Yeah.
I'm a super duper uber theologian.
In my own sphere.
In my own sphere. Yes, it is.
Can I ask, we're talking about last days. Mm. Some people may not believe we're living in the last days.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Should we live differently?
Yes.
In the last days?
Yes.
And it's a yes or no question.
Yes.
No.
How? Okay, so Siku says, yes, three times, and John says no. Tension has been created. Siku, yes, we'll let you go first.
Well, I mean, the verse that we just read, so if we're going to have a hard posture to accept scripture.
Yes.
She's like, <"That's> Jonathan.
Therefore, let us not sleep the way we started in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. We have this concept of not sleeping, of watchfulness, of being vigilant. Mm-hmm. Jesus speaks about it when he's speaking, when he's giving, you know, his instructions about the end times, mm-hmm. right? And he says, watch therefore, be vigilant. Paul, like, repeats it over and over. We've got it here as we're reading in 1 Thessalonians 5. There's this notion that, and as we have been studying leading up to this point, that at the end of time, there's kind of like the culmination of this great controversy meta-narrative that was introduced at the beginning of this arc, right? And at the climax of it, there are these not just global, like universal issues that are at play, you know, and this in this drama that is taking place. And so at the end of time, there are these large themes that we are part of, that we are engaging as we are making our personal decisions on a day-to-day basis. And so if there ever was a need for vigilance, if ever there was a need for being aware of the possibility of deception, now would be the time to be aware of that. And not that anyone needed to be sleeping before or not vigilant, or it was okay to be a lazy Christian in the past. I don't know about that, but I know that for sure. Now, if ever it was necessary for us to be vigilant, now would be the time. Because the devil knows that his time is short. He knows that he's got a lot to lose. He's already lost, really. But he wants to take as many down with him as possible. And I don't want to go down in his ship, you know, so we need to be vigilant.
Okay. Now for the other side.
Siku's like, bite me.
I fully agree with what Siku says. My point of saying no was to create tension. But also, I do think that while it's true we're living in the end times, we've got to be sober and all these things, that was true throughout all ages at every stage. We are now in a unique position that we have, I guess, the most truth revealed of all time. But that is also true at every moment in time. If, you know, at that point, that's what they had. But people were always called to be faithful today, to be, you know, diligent today, be sober-minded today. And while we are living in the end times, everyone is living in their own end times in the sense that we could be dead by tonight. Okay, so like, I don't want to put it off in that sense. So like, for me, the point I'm trying to make is like, we got to be faithful today, no matter if it's the end time or not. I believe it's the end times. I believe now is the time. But my point is that I think it's very important that we, even in within the end times, we're not thinking, well, when these events happen, then I'll be serious.
Yes.
No. Now is the time. Now is, tomorrow is not promised to you.
Hey, wonderfully answered. I mean, it's, a lot of these questions are yes, no answered questions, depending on the nuance of where we're at. We need to be living differently in the last days, but at the same time, it's the same faith that we have in the last days, for sure. I want to transition to Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4. And the nuance there is that the reality is the last days, there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens. There's going to be a lot of, we are in the beginning stages of that, and it's going to get more and more crazy. It's going to get, you know, all the bad stuff. But the good news is that as much bad stuff there is, it's commensurate with God's grace, and God gives more power to those to endure through those times. I think that's you know, in all the, in many of the last day events presentations I've been to, like, hey, this, like, all right, good luck, buddy. You know, I'm like, what? But all this is mentioned so that we, that God also promised that the same amount of resources, spiritual resources and power to help us enable us through that. I mean, that would just, that would be otherwise very unloving and unfair of God to do that. So he said in Revelation 18, verse 1, 18:1, the Bible says, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And I just want to emphasize that part. Glory is another Bible study word for the word of God's character. And here we are given, whether it's through the latter rain or through the Holy Spirit or God's church being empowered by God on a, like just 2.0, like whatever it is the case, that the whole world is illumined in the midst of all this darkness and the frogs going to the whole world and the kings and Babylon and all, and the death decree and whatnot, that God's character can be seen. And that's something that, that we need to abide by. Continuing on verse 2, I'll read, and he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of a luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Any comments to this, to Revelation 18, the in many ways, the fourth angel?
Yeah, this is kind of like the climax, the very last, as I've mentioned in the previous episode,
defibrillator
shock.
Yeah.
It's like, come out of my people. Now is the last moment. There's this idea that, oh, Jesus is going to come, and then there's another time of, you know, for people have time to decide after his, you know, the rapture, and then they still have time to decide. No. The Bible doesn't teach this. The Bible says there's going to be a last call for a decision. This is it. And it goes along not just with like, oh, someone's preaching really loud, you know, come out of her, my people. It's, as you said, it has to do with at the darkest time of history, so to say, God's people are going to shine the brightest because they are fully filled with the Spirit.
Yes.
They're fully engaged in ministry. The love of God will be on its highest, most incredible display besides the cross through His people in the last days. Like everyone who's faithful is going to shine, okay, with God's love. And people are going to see, like, people will be literally presented with two options. They're like, either you join that or you don't. And this is that's the decision you have to make. So it's going to be an exciting time. It's going to be an intense time. But it is important to understand that today we prepare for that. So if you want to be part of that final call to other people, be faithful today, walk with Jesus, and He's going to use you in a mighty way.
And I like
amen to that.
Yeah, and I like the way that you highlighted in verse 1, the earth being illuminated with His glory. When I grew up hearing about, you know, Babylon is fallen, and you know, this kind of message of come out of her, and the three angels' messages for me growing up seemed very much like doom and gloom. Like, if you worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in your forehead or in his hand, you know, it's just like, it was very focused on the negative, like very focused on, like, you know, the Babylon and the how horrible it is, and which I think there's that, because it's a warning against deception. But the beauty I see in the way that you phrase it and the way that it's stated in Scripture is that the earth is illuminated with His glory, and He cries mightily. That the call to come out of Babylon is given in the context of a revelation of God's character. And it's really a revelation of Jesus Christ, a bright revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's in that context that you get the call to come out of Babylon.
It's not going to be a fear-based call, like, oh, get out because this is so evil. No, get out because Jesus is so beautiful.
And that's what really struck me with that illustration. And maybe when we talk about prophecy, and especially these messages, if our focus was more on look at Jesus, you know, look at truth, look at how beautiful He is and how beautiful truth is as it is in Him. And then the call to come out is not just to come out for the sake of coming out. It's a call to come to Jesus.
And that's the that's epitome of the three angels' messages. And I mentioned in previous episodes, if we distill each one of those angels, the first one is talking about worship the Lord Jesus. Behold the man. Second one, truth. Babylon is fallen. Truth will sustain till the end. And the last is the third angel's message, where God gives us a choice. And that choice is empowered by the goodness and the power and the Holy Spirit given by the fourth angel found in Revelation 18. This is the three angels' messages. Hopefully it's been a blessing to all of you in the last 13 episodes. We'll see you next week as we look at the book of Leviticus. God bless you. We'll see you next week.